Welcome to Share a Pint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
Today we're talking with Dave Palmer from Brewery Fire. Thanks for being on the show, Dave.
Oh, absolutely.
So I first learned about Brewery Fire while at the Maryland Microbrew Festival in Westminster last September. Mm-hmm. If I'm right, that was the day after you guys officially opened.
It was a week after.
Okay. Yeah. So talk about the timing of that and how you were able to manage both events.
Well, we dragged our feet for a very long time about committing to the Maryland Microbrew Festival just because they really wanted to have us. I mean, it's here in Carroll County where we're located. We were, you know, the up-and-coming brewery, but with the hurdles of getting a brewery open in Maryland, we just weren't sure, like, if are we going to have every license in place? Are we going to have enough beer? And so forth and so on. So we dragged our feet till just about the last minute before committing to that festival, and we're glad we did it. My partner Jesse was there with some of our friends volunteering, and I was holding down the fort here for our second weekend. It worked out. It's we wind up, you know, having a lot of our legacy tied now to Carroll County Beer Week, which the Microbrew Festival is the capstone event. Mm-hmm. So now our every anniversary falls in Carroll County Beer Week, which is a happy accident, considering we wanted to open months earlier, but,
right,
you know, there's worse fates.
That's good. That's great. Well, there seems to be a bit of a medieval theme between the name Brewery Fire, the slogan Forging a Brewery Culture, which was on your banner at the festival, and then the beautifully carved wooden swords that you use as flight holders. Talk a little bit about those.
So Jesse and I are giant nerds, so just about everything you're going to find in Brewery Fire is either fantasy-themed, sci-fi-themed, video game-themed, some pop culture, like we have some Seinfeld references, some Office, some Parks and Rec. So we're just giant dorks, and we decided to make what we call our grown-up pillow fort, which is our brewery and tap room. We just get to make a place that we never want to leave, and, you know, people respond to it and have a good time.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, I visited about 2 months after you guys had opened, and as you just kind of touched on, I was instantly drawn to the sci-fi and the fantasy artwork. There's so many great paintings on the walls, and then this, you know, amazing mural painted by Kurt Sees of BB Murals. So share a little bit with our listeners about that part of your story, and then how all of that really ties into your brand.
Sure. So the mural in particular, we knew we were doing a beer garden outside, and we... the building that we're renting is connected to a bowling alley. We only have 3 external walls. So one of our external walls touches the beer garden, and then one of the bowling alley's external walls touches the beer garden. Mm-hmm. And that wall, since it's tucked away, hadn't been repainted in two decades. I don't know. It looked old and neglected. So our landlord owns the bowling alley, and we kind of started the conversation, hey, what can we do to beautify this wall? Our customer's going to be out here, and it's terrible looking. So can we do something, you know, to make this more visually appealing? We'd gone back and forth on a couple different ideas, but really settled on the idea of a mural. Mm-hmm. And then we visited Elder Pine Brewing Company, and they had this beautiful black and white mural. I mean, a completely different style from what we've done here. But we just fell in love with that art, and we were like, all right, you gotta tell us who your guy is. And it turned out to be Kirk, and we shot him an email introducing ourselves, telling him about our vision, and he's like, I have a photo of me dressed up as a hobbit with my arm around Sean Astin at a convention.
Wow.
I'm your guy. And we're like, yeah, you're our guy.
So we
fired ideas back and forth. He did some mock-ups in Photoshop, and, you know, we just kind of, we picked what characters we wanted, where we wanted them, and what we wanted them doing, and then he, you know, turned it into magic. So now we've got, I think, the largest piece of public art in the county. I don't know of a larger one, but we've never had it verified. But if it's not the largest, then we'll have to paint around the corner and change that. So we've just got a lot of local art showcase, as you mentioned, the paintings on the walls. You know, we engage with local artists. We let them display their work and sell it for free. We don't take a cut of it. We want them to have the chance to showcase their work and make a few bucks.
So So you have a variety of different artists that are represented.
Yeah, right now we've got just one on the walls. We got a couple more bringing out stuff in the coming weeks. Okay. We gave the artist that's up now a little bit of exclusivity because he supplied so much right when we opened. So we gave him a window of time that was just for him. But now we're open to any and all art with our final say. So you know, if it doesn't match our vibe, then sorry. But there's a lot of artists out there doing stuff that matches kind of our vibe, so.
Yeah,
got a lot of new stuff coming.
I think that was gonna say, it definitely ties in, and you go back to that mural outside, and there's just so many references.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll shoot that so we get a nice long look for our viewers to go, okay, how many references can you pick out?
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's some great ones.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, we, during the months that we were open before winter, we had a lot of people just drag one of us out there, be like, okay, who's this one, who's that one? You know, like, oh, I got 90%, what's the other 10%. So.
Yeah. Are there any in particular that people just, you know, that they would miss, or you're like, oh, this is kind of an Easter egg, or?
I think the one people miss the most is the silhouette on top has the alien from Aliens drinking with a woman across from him. Mm-hmm. And that, since it's a silhouette of a woman, you can't tell who it is, but it's supposed to be Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark. She did the shots contest. Mm-hmm. In that movie, so that's who that is, because Ripley's featured elsewhere in the mural.
Right, so. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's probably the most Easter egg kind of one up there. Mm-hmm. And the Eye of Sauron is pretty well hidden, too.
Okay. So. Now, how much of a blending of what, you know, Kurt had in mind, and then what you guys said, this is how we want it to look, or did you give them more a list of characters and say, figure out how to put them all together?
It was probably more the latter, yeah. We gave him a lot of characters, and, you know, there's some where, obviously, with the number of remakes and reboots out there, we have to be like, no, we meant the original, not the reboot, you know, stuff like that. But, now, for the most part, you know, we just told him what we wanted, and there were minor changes here and there. Like, he put the Terminator, the T-800, in its full metal skeleton version. We're like, oh, well, he has to do a flaming thumbs up because of the end of Terminator 2. So,
yeah.
You know, just we got a lot of minor tweaks. He had April O'Neil as our bartender, and then Jesse had the idea of having the Ninja Turtle masks as her bar rags. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just little minor changes like that.
Cool.
So.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, you won the 2018 Carol Biz Challenge.
Yeah.
But you also won the People's Choice Award. Mm-hmm. So talk about the role that played in your story.
I think the biggest part that played, it's twofold, really. The networking with local businesses, we got to know a lot of people that we do business with now. Mm-hmm. And then just the huge amount of publicity for free that we got out of that. I mean, we had several articles in the Carroll County Times, lots of social media, lots of attention that way. So that gave us a nice big boost of awareness in the county. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the cash prizes didn't hurt. But, you know, with any business endeavor, you know, it's all a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's a helpful drop in the bucket, but, you know, it's the biggest part of it. And then why I encourage everyone to enter is just the networking alone is worth it. Like, you enter for free, and you get to meet all these other entrepreneurs in your county. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. Okay. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to get to know your business community? And
yeah,
you know.
And I think the timing of it is coming up now. That it's just kind of getting started as far as
they did their kickoff in February, and then I think all entrants have to be in by June, and then they whittle it down to the final five, and then the contest is August.
Okay. Now, do you guys have any tie back into that?
Oh, I'm a judge this year.
Okay.
Yeah. They reached out and they asked me to be one of the judges. So I'm looking forward to that.
Cool.
And then we were there last year, but we were just there serving samples of our beer. We weren't involved in any of the judging or presenting. But this year I'll be one of the judges, and yeah, it'll be fun. And I'm pretty sure we'll have our beer there as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, talking about beer, we're drinking the Mandalorian. You guys have extended the reference you talked about with sci-fi fantasy into the names and have some really, really great ones. I think the one that I had at the Maryland Microbrew Festival was Executor.
Yeah.
Okay, my mistake. And that was the first one. Mm-hmm. But then I came here and I was like, oh, now you get the full gamut of things, especially the episode one doesn't count.
Yes.
So I'm on board with that. So as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, these guys are going to be right up my alley.
Yes. Yeah, we did actually a trilogy of pale ales. We kept the same core recipe, but we changed the hops.
Mm-hmm.
So we had episode 1 doesn't count, episode 2 doesn't count, and episode 3 doesn't count. And then on the date of the release of episode 9, we had all three side by side with our Executor IPA, which is our flagship, so you can get a flight of Star Wars themed beers.
Cool.
On episode 9 day.
Awesome. What are some of the other neat ones that are either you've done in the past that might come back, or some new ones that are coming up?
So we did the Hero of Canton, which is our Kentucky Common.
Okay.
It's a Firefly reference for Firefly fans. Mm-hmm. That one was really well received. So we're brewing that again. So it should be on tap in April, I would guess, just based on our beer schedule. I mean, we always have the nice thing about being a small brewery is that we rotate pretty regularly. So we've brought back maybe two or three of our original recipes. As I mentioned, Executor is always on tap.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got, you know, 9 beer taps, so we kind of rotate the other 8. We experiment, we have fun.
Yeah, and when you kind of touched on it, you guys got some styles that maybe people don't run across. I mean, you know, you don't find people that keep Belgians on tap as much as you guys seem to do, or you mentioned the Kentucky Common. I mean, talk about some of those different styles that people can experiment with or
sure. Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things, I mean, you kind of have to play to your audience, mm-hmm. and we discovered real quick that Belgians do well here. We weren't expecting that. We kind of thought we'd be a little more IPA heavy, which is kind of more the trend, IPAs and sours. But for whatever reason, our Belgians are really well received, so usually we have two different Belgian styles on at any given time, just because they go so well here. Then we do some traditional, you know, American brown ales, red ales. We like to do English style ales. Mm-hmm. And of course, we like to go crazy. So we've got a Russian Imperial Stout going. We've got, you know, fruited IPAs, hazy IPAs. Yeah, we just kind of go all over the map because we can.
That's cool.
Yeah, we answer to ourselves and to our customers, and that's it. So, you know, we, for the most part, we get a crazy idea, we do it, and hope everyone likes it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I recently noticed that you guys have a local badge on Untappd. So tell us a little bit about that process and then what went into that business decision.
So, I learned through the process that apparently they don't make badges available to everybody. Mm-hmm. They kind of look for who's getting the right amount of traffic, that it makes sense, and then they reach out and do their whole, you know, their whole sales spiel, and you know, you kind of put it together and see what you want to do. So you pay up front for a whole year of having a badge, and the idea is when people within, I think, 25 miles or so open up their Untappd app, you're right there on the homepage as a local nearby badge, which, you know, if people haven't found out about you through Facebook, Instagram, Google, the newspaper, or their uncle, whoever, you know, like they'll see it on Untappd and be like, oh, hey, within the next however many miles, they can go check in and get a new badge. There's people that have been collecting them like Pokemon. So, you know, we've had it for about 2 weeks now, so it's still too early to say if it's benefiting us. In those 2 weeks, the next two Carroll County breweries opened, so
we've seen
an uptick in business just because people, you know, doing local beer tours. So it's hard to say what role, if any, the badge played in that. But obviously, we have data that we can track to kind of see how that goes. But I mean, it was a low enough cost and it fit in our marketing budget. So you know, 1 year commitment. We'll see how it goes, and if people like it and if it shows a drive in getting more people in here trying our beers, then why not?
Right. Yeah, no, and like you said, more people are opening in this area. I mean, I was at Flood Zone not that long ago for their opening, and it was crazy. I don't think I've seen an opening. I mean, you know, they're a moderately small place, or maybe similar size to you guys are.
Yeah, slightly bigger,
But, I mean, I got there right at noon, and the line was out the door.
Yeah, I think the from what I hear, the fire marshal enforced a little more heavily there than they did here.
Yeah, it was like
There was a clicker. I heard they were clicking.
Are you going to the bathroom? Are you getting food, or are you leaving?
I'd heard, they, I guess, didn't realize how big of a deal a brewery opening in the county was. So I think, unfortunately, they learned from not enforcing here. Mm-hmm. And so they did the clickers at the other two breweries for their grand openings, which was probably wise because, I mean, we had every seat full inside and out and a line out the door all day when on our grand opening, and we're a very small place. So,
yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, because you guys being attached to the bowling alley, that's got to be some sort of connect for the community, obviously, knows about that. Did that help you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was advertising on his screens in there for at least a month leading up to us opening, and we're on tap over there as part of our lease. You know, our customers can order his food, so we have a nice symbiotic relationship with the bowling alley.
Okay, cool. Well, tell people where they can find you online: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all social media.
We have a Twitter account. We're not super active on it, but yeah, Facebook/BreweryFire, Instagram/BreweryFire, BreweryFire.com. Most of the time, Facebook and Instagram is where to find out what's going on. And then our, as you mentioned, Untappd. Our Untappd menus are on our webpage and our Facebook page.
Well, we'll be sure to put the web information up there on our show notes and on our website at sharepinepodcast.com.
Great.
We learned a bit about the brewery. Tell us about your role here, Dave.
So I like to say I'm the guy that keeps us out of jail. Jesse, my business partner, he quit his day job back in May of last year and has been here full-time ever since. I still have a full-time job. So Jesse's kind of the day-to-day operations. He does 95% of the brewing. I get to do about 5% of it.
Okay.
But for the most part, you know, he keeps the place running, and I do the paperwork and make sure that the tax man gets paid, that all permits are lined up where they need to be, and you know, hire staff, manage payroll, stuff like that. So I didn't realize when I was signing up to open a brewery that I was signing up to be an accountant and you know, all these other things. But you know, the goal is grow the business to the point that it's both of our full-time jobs in the next year or two. But you know, for now, as Jess and I love to say, it is what it is.
Right.
I mean, you know, it can afford one of us, and it needs to be him right now. And
right.
Yeah. So in the near future, it'll be both of us.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've talked to a lot of people, and obviously in the brewing business, you wear a lot of hats.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're talking about kind of handling a lot of that paperwork and legal stuff, is there any crossover from what your current full-time job is, or is it stuff you had to learn on the fly?
No. I had to learn all of it. Okay. Absolutely all of it. Yeah. I'm pretty handy with a computer, so I guess, and you know, I know my way around a spreadsheet, so that helped in the process for sure. But I don't think anyone's an expert in navigating state taxes.
Yeah,
I don't even think a CPA is an expert. I think it's all just, you know, close your eyes and pray. You know, it's just so much red tape, so much legalese, and you just try to, you know, cut them their check and make sure it's the right amount. You know?
Right. Well, tell us how you got started in the craft beer industry.
I think the same way most people have in the last handful of years. Jesse and I are both homebrewers that had a dream. He was particularly dissatisfied with his career and looking for his next step in life, and was talking with his wife about it, and she was just like, hey, just call Dave, start a brewery. I mean, we'd brewed together as homebrewers a handful of times. We'd been acquainted for years, and we talked it over. It made sense. My pilot system was good enough to do a lot of the work we needed to do in our planning phases to get our product out there. And we spent the two and a half years building a business plan, looking for a property to open in. Carroll County was particularly not brewery friendly when we were looking. It's since changed. You can open in a lot more places, but the laws when we were looking, basically you could open a brewery the same place you could open a junkyard. It was considered heavy industry. Like, none of the nice little mixed use business parks were allowed to have breweries. So we had to look in the city limits of the various municipalities in the county. So, I mean, we looked at Sykesville, we looked at Westminster, we looked at Mount Airy, we looked at Tawnytown. I think those are the only ones we looked at with any serious consideration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, every municipality had its pluses and minuses. I mean, Sykesville had no properties at the time. Westminster was having issues with water. Mount Airy, the largest property you could find was like 1,100 square feet. and Tawnytown was great. It kind of checked all the boxes, and our local customer base loves that we're here. There was nothing really like this at all in Tawnytown ever.
Right.
So people are just thrilled that they've got something fun and interesting to do that's a little outside of what Tawnytown's had in the past.
Right. Okay. Well, again, with it being connected to the bowling alley, it's kind of a unique space. They owned this. What did this used to be?
This used to be a Curves gym.
Oh, okay.
So, it had been a Curves gym for a handful of years. I guess the owner decided to close up shop, and it sat vacant for maybe 1 or 2 years when we found it. Mm-hmm. And then we had to renovate the heck out of it and turn it into something else. But, it's between being a modern building, having handicap accessibility already, having sprinklers already, ample parking, we're like, okay. Like, if there's a better building in Carroll County, I don't know what it is.
Right. Because
this literally checked every box.
Yeah.
And then being next to it, already next to a destination, the bowling alley, I'm like, okay, well, people already come here.
Right.
So, yeah, the only thing better than that is if you've got, you know, a Main Street kind of situation with walking customers that are, you know, are going to stumble onto you by accident.
Right.
You know, like, one of the things Jesse and I say is very few people show up here by accident.
Yeah.
And we're tucked away next to a bowling alley, you kind of have to either go there or go here on purpose.
Right. Well, you said there's a lot of space, and clearly when we were talking about the brewery itself, you guys have really transformed this. I mean, we shoot this so people can see. It's beautiful, a lot of the woodwork. I probably wouldn't have thought what it used to be compared to what you've converted it to.
No,
so nice job.
Thank you, we have archival photos actually on the screen. The slideshow will show some of them. We made sure to document our process just because, I mean, it's, you know, crummy blue carpet, white ceiling tiles, ceiling fans,
wow.
I mean, ugly paint. I mean, you name it had it. So we're like, okay, we got our work cut out for us. But, you know, we had a vision in our head, and I think Jesse and I would both agree that this exceeds even what we thought we were going to be able to turn it into.
That's awesome. Well, tell us maybe what some of your biggest challenges have been.
The government.
I mean,
absolutely the government.
Yeah.
Getting every last piece of paperwork filed, only to have them lose it in their mailroom or have it sit on a desk for a week.
Wow.
Or, it's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
So, the biggest issue with any brewery is just the barrier to entry, getting through all the red tape, going over every hurdle, getting through every inspection, only to find out that they're going to come back and find a new thing wrong or a new thing they never told you about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we were ready to go from a business standpoint in May. and we didn't open our doors till mid-September, and it wasn't because we weren't ready.
Right.
You know, it was just all red tape and all just issues dealing with government bureaucracy and, you know, kind of nonsense laws and So that's definitely the biggest hurdle.
Well, then that segues nicely into telling me how you guys were able to stay committed during those difficult times.
Oh, Jesse and I are just very stubborn.
Yeah.
Ask our wives. We're very, very stubborn men. So we had our minds set that we were going to do this, and eventually we hit the point of no return. Once we signed, you know, the paperwork on a small business loan, we're like, well, we're not going to lose our houses, so we better keep going.
Wow. So what kind of, it was stubbornness, obviously, that's very helpful. Are there any other particular things that contributed to your success? It sounds like both of your spouses are pretty supportive of what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, hugely supportive, yeah. I mean, you know, from day one, they were behind it. And, you know, they've put up with us working long hours, being around less. Jess and I both have small children, so, you know, when we're not here, or me here and at the day job, we're, you know, we're with our families, because we don't have enough time to have social lives or hobbies or anything like that. So, yeah, having supportive wives that have been in our corner the whole time has been great. Having people willing to volunteer their time and, you know, come out on a random weeknight to help us rip up carpet or, you know, put down a layer of paint or, you know, whatever. And even since we've opened, customers that have become friends that are like, hey, you're doing a beer festival, I'll go with you, I'll pour beer, you know, you don't have to pay me, I'll just hang out and pour beer. I'm like, okay,
cool.
Sure. Yeah, why not? So I guess just like raising a child, opening a brewery takes a village. Yeah. So we've got a nice village around us.
That's cool. That's pretty good. Now, you know, when you talk about the size, and you know, obviously people can see and hear, the brewery's right here in the tap room. So if things go well, hopefully they go well, expansion, how would that potentially work for you?
We've kind of got a couple options. Mm-hmm. So there's the option to build through the wall into the bowling alley, because it's slightly bigger than his needs.
Oh.
So we could expand in. Hmm. Also, he owns the field next to the bowling alley, so we could build a new construction there. So we're in the middle of writing out the plans for both.
Okay.
And then we're gonna bring in people to do a cost analysis and see kind of what makes the most sense. But either way, we're staying in this location, just either growing here or building 500 feet that way.
Well, that's great that you can do that, because like you said, you've gotten maybe more support than you had initially thought you would from the community.
Yeah, we had no idea what to expect. And we got a ton more support than we had ever anticipated. So it's nice to, we don't want to, you know, turn that support and say, you know, bye, we're going to Westminster.
Thanks for helping us get bigger.
Yeah, right, right. No, we're a Tawny Town brewery, and we're staying in Tawny Town.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. That's great. Well, again, tell people where they can find you online.
So facebook.com/brewery fire, instagram.com/brewery fire, and brewery fire.com.
Sounds good. Well, again, we'll put that on our website and our show notes.
Thanks.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for your time and for sharing a pint with me.
Of course. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. Show notes for this episode are available at sharepintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.